You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the government is considering significant changes to the configuration of public service media in New Zealand. There's not yet been any announcements about what these changes might be, but it is possible that Radio New Zealand and TVNZ might be disestablished. I spoke to Victoria University's Peter Thompson about the state of public service media and why these changes are necessary.
I mean, we don't know the details, of course, but
yeah.
If that's the direction they're going in, it's going to be quite a big upheaval.
It really will. I mean, let's jump straight into it. The advisory group has said that the status quo at the moment is unsustainable. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, broadly speaking, yes, I would. And we've been saying that for years, really, ever since the demise of TVNZ7, which was our commercial-free public service television channel. The position that Television New Zealand finds itself in is that although it's a commercial entity at present and doesn't have a formal public service role, it's struggling to maintain its profitability. And that raises questions about how far the government's going to have to subsidise it or absorb losses in the future. So I think it's a very good time for the government to review this. Now, whether or not that means that the proposed structure is going to be viable is another question.
Mm. Before that structure becomes known, as you said, it's not at the moment. We do know that the group have said they want to make sure they have a clearly defined public media mandate and purpose, which sounds to me sort of like at least an attempt or a step in the right direction at reinvigorating the New Zealand's public sphere. And it's definitely an opportunity to do that. But do you think that disestablishing, if that is to happen, is the way to go?
I think the idea of a hybrid model is potentially quite problematic. If you want to bolt a public service broadcaster like RNZ onto a commercial entity like TVNZ, I think there's going to be a clash of cultures somewhere in the middle. So there'd have to be a very, very clear structure as to what parts of this new entity might be dedicated public service and what parts of it would remain commercial. I think as soon as you try and combine a commercial funding model with a public service function, you start to muddy the waters in all sorts of ways. Mm. I mean, people recall, several years ago when we had the TVNZ charter, it was ostensibly publicly funded, but it had a commercial remit at the same time. Mm. And that didn't work particularly well, not least because the government actually took out more in dividends than it provided in charter subsidies. So, I hope the government's not looking at that model again, because it didn't work before. So it really, to maintain a strong public service core, it needs to identify what parts of the new entity would remain insulated from commercial pressure.
Mm-hmm. The flip side being Radio New Zealand, do you worry about the risk of that announcement?
Well, if the plan is to dilute RNZ's current charter and start making RNZ accountable to advertisers and sponsors, then I think this would be a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, RNZ fulfills its functions really still on an underfunded budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have to worry about ratings and maximising audience share in every slot in the schedule. And as soon as even you put a single dollar of advertising into that model, you start to corrupt its public service mission. So I think that should be absolutely sacrosanct, and that RNZ's core radio and public service functions should remain completely funded by public sources. I think there would be a big problem if it moved towards a commercial model. Now, that said, I mean, if you looked at the concert channel, and there are some rumours about the concert channel possibly being replaced by a youth channel that I've heard, that's not verified. If you had a concert program that was sponsored, I don't think that would be a problem. But commercial sponsorship and independent news are not good bedfellows, and I think that ought to be resisted quite strongly.
Mm-hmm. You sort of touched on this in your piece on the Big Q when you referenced how the CEO of MediaWorks, Michael Anderson, he argued that there's a genuine risk that the government may become the only broadcaster in New Zealand, which, I mean, in many ways represents a flawed conception of how public service broadcasting operates as a watchdog. What really is it that needs fixing here?
Well, at the moment, I think we have a huge deficit in the provision of public interest media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the whole of the media model, the whole of the media ecology has suffered from a significant shift in business models as advertising has sought new outlets online. And as everybody knows, the big beneficiaries of this have been Google, Facebook and other digital intermediaries, which actually don't invest in content.
Mm.
So the entire media sector right across the board has suffered from this. So that all the media that provide news, for example, are having to tighten their belts. I mean, it's interesting to see, for example, that Radio New Zealand's story on the breaking news about the reformed public media entity has been repeated in Stuff. It's been on TVNZ. It's been on the New Zealand Herald as well. So the content sharing across the board has already started.
Mm.
But the thing I would say is that I don't think the solution to the problems that we're facing is to do away with public service media. This idea that some people have that broadcasting is old hat and we need to look at new models doesn't gel with the facts that we have about audiences. And the fact is that the majority of New Zealanders still watch linear scheduled TV services every day, and there's still a substantial amount listen to radio every day. What's happening is that they're heavily complemented with a wide range of other platforms. So the logical approach to dealing with commercial pressures is to make sure that there's a strong public service entity on all of those platforms. Interestingly, the commercial sector isn't necessarily opposed to this. Michael Anderson himself, although he grumbled about the idea of RNZ getting into television, is extremely amenable to turning Television New Zealand partly or wholly non-commercial for a very simple reason. It would release, if it was TV One, it would release about $150 to $160 million worth of advertising back into the market that the commercial competitors could pick up. Now, that's a hard ask for the government because, in a sense, they'd be diluting what is currently regarded as a commercial asset by Treasury. So you'd have to persuade some people that this was a smart move for the future. Maintaining a strong public service entity across all platforms in the center of the media ecology is, in my view, absolutely essential. And that may not be the only measure. You could also look at measures that would support some kind of public interest journalism across a wide range of platforms. And of course, RNZ, as I mentioned, has already started to do this with its content sharing agreements. So I think what we need to do is, right across the board, insulate more programming decisions from the pressures of the commercial market. Because even though the commercial market does provide a wide range of content that we enjoy, in certain areas, notably news, current affairs, educational documentaries and other serious factual programming and programming for minorities, it significantly underdelivers.
Mm.
So there's a market failure there, and we need to compensate that. We need to compensate for that right across the platforms.
That sort of leads into my next question, which is, it connects to that whole thing that you identified again in the Big Q piece about fragmenting mm-hmm. audiences, which is a big problem that we have at the moment. And so I guess I'm asking, do you have faith that whatever this advisory group does produce, might it have enough provisions for content for Māori or any groups that are underrepresented?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. I mean, first of all, I'm not sure if this advisory group is still actually operational. I think Minister Farfoy moved to effectively curtail its role, and certainly it won't be proceeding to form into what was the Labour's original vision of a public media funding commission. That as I understand, is no longer on the table. So they're working on a report that was commissioned by the Ministerial Advisory Group and Ministry for Culture and Heritage that nobody I know has seen, or at least nobody that I know will show me a copy. and we don't know exactly what the recommendations are, but I'm absolutely sure that they would have to take account of the needs of a diverse range of audiences, and that not only includes ethnic minorities, but it would also include regions, and it would obviously include young people. And it would need to take account of the very different ways in which those communities were now accessing media. I mean, I think the government would be absolutely nuts, for example, to say, oh, well, nobody's watching telly anymore. Well, there's a huge amount of people who still watch telly. Yes, they tend to be older, but they're a big part of the population. So, you know, if you remove television services, that would affect a huge number of people in New Zealand. On the other hand, if you only put material of a public service nature on television, then you'd be cutting out quite a lot of young people. So you need to operate these services right across every single platform, and there needs to be dedicated services in some instances, such as Māori Television, that make sure that certain communities aren't overlooked. So I mean, Māori Television hasn't been mentioned in this conversation, and obviously it has a significant role within the media ecology, even though its audiences aren't huge. I think probably that's a sign that won't be changing in the near future. And of course, Māori Television itself is branching out into new platforms. It's developing apps that are accessible by more young people. And I think that's absolutely essential for the future. And the other public media operators have to do the same.
And that was Mary Margaret talking to Peter Thompson of Victoria University about the possible creation of a new public entity which could replace Radio New Zealand and TVNZ. We have a text about this topic came in. It says, I don't take kindly to being forced to pay for government media. It will only ever be pro-government propaganda. My thoughts about that is, these kind of medias, it's not supposed to be public propaganda for media. And don't forget Radio New Zealand itself. It's a public funded service. And to be fair, I don't see it being an outlet for what you say as government propaganda.
Public service media doesn't mean government media. It just means that it's publicly funded. Its literal function is to be a watchdog on government, and its prime purpose is to serve the people. So, I mean, if you prefer that media comes from funding from companies whose concern is
their
money
profits,
at the end of the day,
yeah.
I mean.
And for my own experience, because I grew up overseas, public service media always produced much better content than commercial media. So I kind of, being pro, I want to have a much more stronger public service media.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a question of which one is better. It's more so just that the purpose of media is to ensure that we have a public sphere, we have deliberation, we keep the public informed, and by having publicly funded media whose key concern is that, you ensure that happens, and that's really all that the discussion is concerning at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.